Hello, everyone. My name is Anthony Bandiero, bringing another webinar from my hotel in Aurora, Colorado. Okay, so Leosa Basics, active duty, retirees, some FAQs, and let's talk about the future, right? All right, thanks, Jeff. So Leosa Basics. Now, here is essentially what it says, okay? 18926C. It says, notwithstanding any other provision of the law, of any state or any political subdivision thereof, an individual who is a qualified, retired, or active, they're pretty much written the same, law enforcement officer, and who is carrying the identification required by subsection D, may carry a concealed firearm that has been shipped or transported in interstate or foreign commerce, subject to subsection B. Okay, so basically, Leosa is saying, despite state or local laws to the contrary, certain people can carry concealed weapons if they comply with Leosa. So I think a very good question that no, you can definitely not carry in an airplane, right? Because it's unless it's prohibited by federal law, right? Now, I wish we can carry an airplane, quite frankly. It'd be kind of cool, right? But here's the deal, okay? A very common question that I get is, Anthony, what if there's this, restricted area that the states, they call them like sensitive area, sensitive spaces, right? So these sensitive places, right? They're basically gun-free zones, right? But they call them sensitive places. So they'll say, one state will say you cannot carry in a park. Illinois says you can't carry on public transportation. Do those laws apply to you if you're carrying under Leosa, right? Can the state say, hey, you can't carry on public transportation? And my answer is no, okay? The problem is, I don't want you to pick a fight that's gonna cost you your freedom, okay? So you have to make this decision that when you go to communist New Jersey, right? Or communist, Illinois. And I say that, because I think that's the way they are, right? They are making laws that I think they're infringing on your rights. So if you're going to go there and you're going to disregard state law, is there a chance that if you have to use this weapon, right, for self-defense, is there a chance that a prosecutor is not going to agree with me or you? And they're going to say, yeah, I know what it says, but I still think that you have to comply with New Jersey law, right? You can't carry here. The answer is yes. Do I think ultimately, that's the right answer? But I don't want you, I just don't want to see you jammed up. So make a risk assessment based on your, opinion and so forth, right? But, it says what it says. It says notwithstanding. Notwithstanding means besides the point, right? Besides the fact that they say no, you can still do it if you meet Leosa requirements, right? And bail me out. I'll bail you out, Sean. I'll bail you out. So why Leosa? Why do we have this amazing concealed carry privilege around around the nation, right? Well, I'll tell you one. Just first of all, I think everybody should have this right. I think my brother, right, who works, with me at Blue to Gold, I think he should have the right to carry concealed in all 50 states. But unfortunately, that's not where we're at right now, right? So is designed to allow certain current and former law enforcement officers to possess firearms, right? The statute preempts state and local restrictions subject to limited restriction exceptions. So what does Leosa say about those? Right? We're going to talk about it. But there are three purposes, three reasons why we have Leosa. Number one is the Congress wanted to create consistency for our beloved law enforcement officers. They didn't think it was fair that our first responders or second responders, in some cases, right, where people need to defend themselves, had to like step over this border of another state, and boom, they can become criminals overnight, right? They also want to protect against vindictive criminals. There are many places in the United States where Pennsylvania, for example, right? You'll have an officer who like works in Pennsylvania, but lives across the border in another state. They did not think it was right that a criminal could be like over the border where the cop lives and then attack that officer because he has no right to, carry a concealed weapon, for example. And they wanted to create that right of Leos to have a gun on them to protect, right, their person. And finally, there was this argument that this was immediate response to crime across jurisdictions. LEOSA was passed shortly after what seminal event, right? 9/11. And so the thinking there was, hey, let's just like we have, pilots, we're arming pilots, right? Crew members, right? The other logic was, why not have these first responders around the nation able to respond to a terrorist attack, right? And as the Congress said, the legislation would allow current and retired police officers to carry a concealed weapon in any of the 50 states and DC. The goals were to allow retired officers to continually serve and protect our communities regardless of jurisdiction, to protect citizens in the wake of a terrorist attack, and to allow them to defend themselves outside their own state from criminals who they have arrested. Okay. All right. So it's 10 years in the aggregate, but you can have a break in service. Okay. So that part is not correct. You can have 5 years, 2 years off, 5 years, and you'll be just fine. Is LEOSA a privilege like a driver's license, or is it a right like the First and Second Amendment? Well, according to one court, Dewberry, it is a right, right? And the reason why this is important is that if we have a police officer that is anti-gun, doesn't believe you should be able to carry concealed because you're a cop in Arkansas visiting your family in Illinois, and he or she has not gotten the message of LEOSA and so forth, and they arrest you for violating state law, right? Because you did not register your weapon or do, something like that. Well, registration might be a different issue, but you're carrying in a manner not allowed by citizens there. Can you potentially sue them, right? And for some civil rights, deprivations? And the answer is yes, according to this court, right? That it is a right. Now, not all courts necessarily agree with that, but that's, I think Dewberry is correct. It is a right established by the by Congress, just like the Civil Rights Acts, voting acts, and so forth. Can states enact additional restrictions on LEOSA carry? Well, no, right? That's not my opinion, okay? Congress enacted a categorical preemption of state and local laws. So if the activity concerns interstate commerce, right, then they are allowed to make laws that preempt, that override state restrictions. Now, what is the key to have this interstate commerce? It's the gun itself. And we're going to talk about the fact that the gun itself must be transported, right, in interstate commerce. And we're going to talk about nuances there that kind of get a little weird. It shouldn't affect almost anybody, but it can in very unique circumstances. But we want to make sure that we have a gun, and so forth. Now, okay. So where can I carry? Well, LEOSA does not tell cops where they can carry, only where they cannot. So I want you to look at the logic. As long as you're not carrying, right? As long as you're not carrying in a restricted area, right, per LEOSA, then everything else is fair game. Does that make sense? Because it's a preemption law, as long as you're not carrying it in one of those areas that is restricted, then everything else is on the table. Does that make sense? So we're going to go through this. Now, somebody says, does this apply to corrections officers? The answer is yes, but we're going to walk through it, okay? So here's where LEOSA does not. Does not it allows restrictions, okay? Number one is private property owners are allowed to restrict possession of firearms, okay? So here's the deal. If you are carrying in private property, on private property, and you knew that the private property owner did not want firearms, I got bad news for you, right? The bad news is that that is not going to be covered by LEOSA, right? So you could be subject to state restrictions. Now, generally speaking, right? You know, especially in my own home state, right? So I have a CCW and I have LEOSA. So I'm going to talk to you about why you should have both. But if I see a business like Walmart, right? Why should I be at Walmart anyway? But I digress. If I'm at Walmart and it says no firearms, right? Well, I don't care one bit at all. So if I'm reaching up to get the Cheerios and, you know, and somebody sees the gun and reports them to the manager, the most I'm going to be subject to is, you know, a trespass, right? They're going to say, hey, you're not welcome here. Okay, fine. I'll leave, right? The problem is if you're in a state that's highly restricted and they think that carrying concealed without a permit is a felony. So imagine you're in Chicago and it says no firearms, right? And you get caught with that firearm. Well, if you don't have a Chicago or an Illinois concealed weapons permit, then you're not supposed to be carrying that gun at all because LEOSA does not cover you. And that can be where the problems, right? Or it does not restrict possession of concealed firearms on government property or parks. Okay. So let's make this clear, right? If it's government property, and we're talking about, you know, typical government property, right? Where, you know, courthouses and police stations and, you know, obviously corrections facilities, they can prevent concealed carry there. LEOSA is not going to save you. Also parks. I don't like parks. I think parks violate the Second Amendment, but this is not a Second Amendment argument. This is a statutory interpretation. Okay. Basically, if you're violating this scenario or this section, you're not carrying under LEOSA. Anthony says, what about federal parks? Most federal parks you're allowed to carry as long as you're carrying lawfully under state law, right? Which means you can carry under LEOSA. Because LEOSA allows you to carry in the state, therefore you're carrying lawfully in most state parks. Okay, now LEOSA does not address federal gun-free zones. The problem is that LEOSA says you cannot carry in federally restricted areas, okay? Well, a gun-free zone is a federally restricted area, which is, again, I think this violates the Second Amendment. But the problem is that the Gun-Free Zone Act says that you can carry in gun-free zones, that 1,000 feet within a school, if you have a state permit. Well, LEOSA is not a state permit. And so it's just one of these things that would a prosecutor go after a retired or active cop for carrying in a going, you know, passing through, walking to a restaurant in a gun-free zone and getting caught with that weapon? Would that officer charge that person? First of all, they probably don't know the nuances of the law anyway. And second of all, even if they did, why in the hell would they ever do that, right? But this is why a state permit is a good idea. Okay, let's first address active duty, okay? So let's go through it step by step. So notwithstanding any other provision of the law of any state or any political subdivision. So what does that mean? Notwithstanding means regardless. Means we're going to just, it's not our problem, right? An individual who is a qualified law enforcement officer and who's carrying the identification required by subsection D may carry a concealed firearm that has been shipped or transported in their state or foreign commerce subject to the rules, right? So James says, if you have both a state permit and LEOSA, which you should, I'll talk more about that. Do you need to be aware of reciprocity? You need to be aware of reciprocity when it comes to gun-free zones, when it comes to, it just comes to a few other, like sometimes parks, right? Sometimes you can, state parks. Sometimes you can carry concealed in state parks if you have that concealed weapons permit, but maybe not otherwise. It's things like that, right? Okay, so let's walk through it step by step. First of all, you have to be law enforcement. Now, as we walk through step by step, what you have to comply with under LEOSA, you are going to see that it gets more and more restrictive, okay? But this one is a floodgate. This lets in a lot of people. Look what it says here, okay? It says law enforcement is those who are authorized by law to engage in or supervise the prevention, detection, investigation, or prosecution of or the incarceration of any person for any violation of the law. That is a lot of people. It obviously includes every police officer. It obviously includes every corrections officer, okay? So somebody brought this up. You are supervising incarcerated people. Clearly, this covers you. It includes all prosecutors, okay? This is a lot of government employees, okay? There are approximately 800,000 police officers in the nation. There are tens and tens of thousands of prosecutors and corrections officers. It covers all of them. But here is the rub. That person not only has to be a law enforcement officer, which is corrections, prosecutors, and police, but that person also must have arrest powers, okay? And they must have statutory powers of arrest. What does that mean? No, it does not count for, does not include citizen arrest. Okay, do all police officers, special general agents, special agents, do they all have statutory powers of arrest? Yes, absolutely. That's the definition of a police officer, right? Do almost all corrections officers have the power to arrest? Well, look, you got to look at your law. But I'm pretty sure that somewhere in your law, it says that as a corrections officer, we're going to talk about reserves in a second. As a corrections officer, do you have the power to make an arrest? You probably do. Are you allowed to make an arrest inside the jail, right? Inmate on inmate crime? Can you arrest a person for battering another prisoner? The answer is probably yes. But you, if you are a corrections officer, what I would do is look at your statutory laws and look for that language that says that law enforcement includes, or you know, arrest powers include corrections and so forth. Now, I will tell you, the people that are going to be eliminated from this pool of people are prosecutors. Are there any prosecutors on here that have the power to arrest? Not just citizens arrests, but statutorily. There are a few. I've met a few, but not many. Okay, not many. They, prosecutors, even like my cops, I'm sorry, my prosecutors in Las Vegas, right? They have badges. They get badges. It says district attorney on it, you know, deputy district attorney. But that badge is symbolic, right? It's symbolic. It's not a statutory power arrest. If a prosecutor in Nevada makes an arrest, it's citizen's arrest. And that does not count here. So you got to make sure you have a statutory power of arrest, right? So here's, for example, Nevada revised statute. It says a peace officer may make an arrest in obedience to a warrant, right? Without a warrant, arrest a person for a public offense committed or attempted in their presence, or when the person has committed a felony, whether or not it's in the presence. So somebody says here, Nebraska does not consider corrections outside of the state level as law enforcement. I just want to make sure we're clear on this, okay? I don't care what we call them. I don't care that they're not peace officers or they're not in the pension plan for law enforcement. What I care about is, in Nebraska, can a corrections officer make an arrest of any type? Is there some law in the books that says that they can make an arrest for, right? If the answer is yes, they are covered by this. They don't have to be considered law enforcement. That's not what we're talking about here. It's statutory powers of arrest. Okay. And we have to look. We don't know, right? All right. Joseph says my volume went down, but hopefully it's not a problem for most other people. I know Teresa and Rick would tell me if I had a problem here. Okay. So law enforcement, check, right? You supervise, prosecute incarcerated people or make arrests. Second, you have arrest powers, okay, statutorily. Number three, you have to have the authority to carry a firearm. Do you see what just happened here? Do you see that we started off with this many people? And then we have to have arrest powers. And now we have to have authority to carry a firearm. So that is the problem, okay? A qualified law enforcement officer must be authorized to carry a firearm by their agency. So I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is if you are not authorized by your agency, if you're an active Leo, okay, and you are not allowed and authorized to carry a firearm by statute or by the agency, right? By the agency, then you cannot carry on the LEASA right now. But I got good news. The good news is when you retire, it doesn't matter. Okay. You do not have to carry a firearm as an active. Okay. So it's bad news and it's good news. Now, somebody asked me about reserves. I'm going to talk about reserves during the FAQ, but I do have good news for reserves. In a nutshell, reserves can carry. Okay. But I'm going to tell you why. Can a local precinct hold your firearm if you go to restricted buildings areas? Well, first of all, absolutely, right? And New York City, I got to tell you, is very good about this. Like, so for example, officers, off-duty officers, retired, active, when they want to go see One World, right? The One World Trade Center. You can't carry a gun up in One World. But these cops are absolutely amazing. There are a lot of patriot officers that just love the Second Amendment in New York. And, you know, it's great to see that because I'm such a advocate of the Second Amendment. And they'll take the firearm. They'll hold it for you. They won't give you a hard time. You know, some fantastic police officers in New York. And I can't say that enough because it's, you know, we have some officers that unfortunately don't agree with all this, but it is rare. It is rare. Now, retired officers do not have to show they were authorized to carry firearms, only active duties, right? So, yeah, they're restrictive with citizens. They definitely violate citizens' Second Amendment rights. So, some agents have retired IDs. CCW not authorized. So, we're going to talk about that, okay? We're going to talk about this whole retired ID and saying that, you know, you can't carry a firearm. We'll talk about that. I have an FAQ on those issues. So Josh says, always wondered this. According to LEOSA, when it talks about being qualified officer, you know, under number four, if you don't pass your agency qual, then you wouldn't be qualified to carry. That's correct. That is correct. Absolutely. That is correct. That's the way I read it. If you are not currently qualified to carry that firearm, you're not allowed to carry in the LEOSA. Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Qualified. That's actually where we're at right now, right? Meets the standards, if any, established by the agency, which require the employee to regularly qualify in the use of firearm. I think I just answered your question, right? Right, Josh? So you have to be current in your qual, right? And here's the deal, okay? If we have an officer that is not quite qualified and they're still carrying in the LEOSA, they're going to New York or California, you know, Illinois, DC, and you know, they get into a shooting and they're asked, hey, what gave you the authorization to carry? And they cannot produce a qual, I think that it is a problem, you know, I think it's a problem. Okay. So the next thing is not prohibited, right? Well, LEOSA does not apply to people that are subject to any disciplinary action by the agency, which result in suspension or loss of police powers. Okay, you see how we're right? We start off with this pool of people. Now we're here. Then we're here. Now we're here. And now we're here. Okay, so there are some cops who are, you know, suspended, under investigation, and so forth. Look, there are no cases that I'm aware of that involve this issue, okay? There are no cops that I've active duty officers who have been jammed up or carrying concealed because they're, you know, and got charged with a crime because they were currently under suspension and so forth. But it could happen, right? I think it's just kind of rare, right? Now, I do, look, I'm not your lawyer, okay? But I don't believe mere accusations of misconduct are enough to strip you of your leiosa, okay? The better argument is that the Congress intended that this is for serious offenses that you are looking at suspension. So, look, at the end of the day, again, I just think that it's for serious offenses, right? It's for you're being accused of something like sexual harassment. Well, you're being groping a prisoner, and a corrections officer having sex with an inmate, right? Those are gonna get you fired, right? But if it's just like rude and discourteous, no, that's not gonna work, in my opinion. I don't think that's gonna work because you're not likely foreseeably gonna get suspended or terminated over that. Now, it would return though once the suspension has been served. So if you're on a 10-day suspension for something, you get your leiosa after back. You don't lose it forever. Okay. Is not prohibited by federal law from receiving a firearm. Obviously, that makes sense. Federal law, you're under indictment, you're a felon, obviously, things like that, right? You're a fugitive from justice. I will tell you that my main concern, and I'm very particular about this, okay? Because I just love Leosa, and I think it's one of the greatest retirement gifts, especially retirement gifts that you can get as Leosa. And I don't want to lose him, right? I don't want you to get jammed up. But I would be cautious if you have like you're going to Disneyland in California, and you're speeding, right? Like all off-duty cops do with their family and so forth. And you get pulled over by CHP, you get the speeding ticket, you forget that it exists, or you. Whatever, you're not going back to California because Disneyland is not like it used to be. And then that ticket turns into a warrant, right? Now, it doesn't come up because it's a puny little warrant in California. But could that affect you, right? Could that be used as an argument that you don't qualify because you're a fugitive from justice? And the answer is yes. I know you most likely might be denied if you have a warrant in NCIC for something puny. You may be denied to buy a firearm. So federal law considers that a restriction. Also, I worry about, my cops who get addicted to pain pills and so forth. That would be, or a restraining order. Okay. There are cops out there that get, messy divorces and family disputes, and they get a restraining order, put on them. That would restrict you, generally speaking, under LEOSA. You can fight it under the Second Amendment. But we're not talking about the Second Amendment. We're talking about Leosa. Okay. Next thing is not under the influence. Okay. So is not under the influence of alcohol or another intoxicating or hallucinatory drug or substance. Now, does this mean, if you have just one, sip of beer that you're restricted? I don't think so, because most lawyers interpret this under the influence language the same as DUIs, right? DUI say under the influence. But does that mean one sip of beer is per se? No. That means that you cannot control your faculties, right? You're not of sound mind. And that's so it could more like be a DUI argument. However, at the same time, let's be honest. Should you really be going out and about and really drinking and having a gun on the, the answer, look, you know what my suggestion is, right? It's really not advisable that you play that game. It's, especially in anti-gun states where they're looking for any reason to jam you up, right? But if you get into a shooting and you've had alcohol in your system, even if you're not under the influence, I promise you, whatever alcohol you have in your system is going to come in against you if they're looking to fry you. Okay. So ID. So the law says the identification required by the subsection is the photographic identification issued by the governmental agency for which the individual is employed that identifies the employee as a police officer or law enforcement officer of the agency. Now, this is for active duty. Do you see anything in here about having a badge? Do you see anything in here about the ID saying that you have to be authorized to carry a firearm or qualified under H.R. 218? It says what it says. If you have an ID that says you are a police officer, lieutenant, corrections, prosecutor, whatever, that is the ID they're looking for. You don't have to have language on the ID that says that you're qualified under LEOSA. This whole qualification thing, right, is only going to come in if you're charged with a crime, right? You're charged with unlawful possession, concealed carry. That's when you have to come in and prove that you hit all the marks of Leosa. So you got to carry this ID with you. If you don't, strictly speaking, it doesn't count under Leosa. It is what it is. Now, let's turn to our retirees, right? So it says, notwithstanding any other provision of the law or any of any state or any political subdivision thereof, an individual who is a qualified retired law enforcement officer and who is carrying the identification required by subsection D may carry a concealed firearm that has been shipped or transported in their state or foreign commerce. Okay, let's walk it step by step. Number one, it obviously includes everybody authorized to detect, supervise. That's my parole and probation officers. Did I forget you guys? Are you guys here too, right? My parole and probation officers are certainly going to be qualified under here, right? They have the powers to arrest. They most likely carry firearms, authorized to carry a firearm, okay? Rick, the answer is yes. So detection, investigation, and so forth. Okay, here's our pool of people, okay? Just like before. Next, arrest powers. So the person must have had statutory arrest at the time of the employment, okay, the 10 years, okay? So that's going to whittle out a lot of our prosecutors, okay? Now, retirees must have had the statutory authority to make an arrest, even if they never made an arrest in their entire career, even if they were never tasked with making arrests. Let me give you an example, okay? My corrections officers, my prison guards, and so forth, right? So out of 1,000 of them, most of them are not in the streets picking up parolees and violators, right? Or, you know, and so forth, right? They're in the walls of the prison, right? And so they may not have directly like the duties to make arrests, right? They're not in community supervision or whatever. It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter. You have to have the authority to make the arrest. Is there a law that says this person is allowed to make an arrest under these conditions, right? If the answer is yes, that's you. Arrest, somebody says arrest authority for all 10 years. Yes, not just a portion of it. I believe the interpretation is that you had to be a law enforcement officer for 10 years or more, okay? And if you only had arrest powers for two of those 10, that unfortunately does not qualify. Okay, so here's a case, the Dewberry case, which is the seminal case in the space. Corrections officers were permitted to serve arrest warrants on parole violators, okay? This qualified as arrest powers under Leosa. See what just happened there? These DC officers, corrections officers, were very limited in their arrest powers. But did the court give it to them? Yes. The corrections officer seeking Leosa was not tasked with making arrest, right? Again, this is irrelevant. The question is whether he or she had the legal authority to make that arrest. Okay, 10 years. The law says separated from service in good standing from service with a public agency as a law enforcement officer and before such separation served as a law enforcement officer for an aggregate of 10 years or more. Okay, it can be broken up. That's not an issue here in my opinion, but you better be able to count 10 full years. If you had 9 years and 360 days, it ain't gonna count. You better go back to work and get those other few days, right? So what if an officer medically retires before serving the 10 years? Okay, we have good news. Leosa applies if the officer separated from service with such agency after completing any applicable probationary period due to a service-connected disability as determined by such agency. So even if you have an officer with 2 years on the job, if they got shot and disabled in that line of duty, they qualify. You will see, though, there are some restrictions on mental disabilities. Okay, qualify. This is the biggest issue for retirees, okay? And here's what it says. It says, during the most recent 12-month period, has met at the expense of the individual the standards for qualification in firearms training for active law enforcement officers as determined by the former agency of the individual, the state in which the individual resides in, or if the state has not established such standards, either a law enforcement agency within the state in which the individual resides or the standards used by a certified firearms instructor as qualified to conduct firearms tests for active duty within that state. Okay. So I want to read something here real quick. I was going to point out something. Okay. So there is this argument, and I know some people that do it, by the way. There is this argument that if you live in New Jersey, for example, and New Jersey requires two quals per year, but you retired from Kentucky. But first of all, why would you be living in New Jersey if you retired from Kentucky? That's besides the point, okay? That might be a mental illness. But the point is can that officer go back to Kentucky and qual at his Kentucky agency and then go back to live in New Jersey? And the answer is yes. Okay. It's my opinion that that is the officer's former agency and can do that. Right. But will there be a prosecutor out there in New Jersey that's going to want to challenge it? Also, yes. But I do know somebody that does that because it's difficult to qual in New Jersey. Now, this issue is not really, I think Sean just asked that, right? Yeah. So, look, I know people that do this, right? I know people that do this, but this is pretty, most states have established a qual for retirees. Okay. You know, Washington State, where I live now, pretty easy qual, right? The old man's qual, you know, use a six gun if you want and probably still pass, you know, six shooter. But the point is, you know, it's just these states like New Jersey, Illinois, Maryland that make things very difficult for retirees and so forth. Retired LEOs do not need to demonstrate they were authorized to carry a firearm during the service. That only applies to active duty. You guys hear me on this? Do you see what just happened? You only need to be a law enforcement officer and authorized to make arrests. You don't have to prove that you ever carried a firearm on duty. Do you guys like that? Yes or no? That is off the hook because there are many corrections officers, prosecutors, and some juvenile probation officers that don't carry guns, right? But it doesn't matter when you're retired. Robert says, at the expense of the individual. So if a department offered it as a service to the retiree, no. If it's free, it's free. It's free, it's free. You're good to go. What about high-capacity magazines? Any restrictions? Absolutely. In my opinion, no restrictions. And I got bad news for you. Hang around for FAQs. Corrections officers were never permitted to carry a firearm during their career, but they retired. Are we good? The answer is yes. This factor is irrelevant for retirees. Keep a copy of your qualification, okay? So it is your, look, I just want to let you know, okay? And you are supposed to provide a copy of your qualification to a police officer if you are stopped with your concealed carry firearm under LEOSA. I know this sounds weird, but if you have an officer who's like, yeah, I know LEOSA, I know the steps, I know what, where's your retirement ID, old man? And then where is your qual, right? So you do have to kind of provide both, right? You do have to provide both. Man, Southwest Washington. Okay, now you tell me. I'm actually, Heath, that's awesome. Man, that's awesome. I wish I'm in Spokane, though. So that's the problem with me. I'm in Spokane. I'm going to talk about reserves in a second here. Okay. Okay. Now, just so you know, the NRA does not keep a copy of your qual. So if you lose that qual and you need it for your defense and you don't have it, nobody's going to give it to you. Do me a favor, keep a photocopy of your qual. And if you're going to keep the original with you or keep a copy with you, you guys with me on this? I mean this, I'm not joking here. Okay. Keep a copy of your qual, okay, and a copy on you and a copy at your house. I'm telling you, I can just see, especially if you go to anti-gun places, okay? We're going to talk about that. Just, Anthony, we're going to talk about types and so forth. We'll talk about that. So next is not prohibited. This is the same, okay? So except that they also have these issues. Not found mentally unfit, okay? So if you retired for a medical reason, did the agency find that you were medically or mentally unfit? If they did, then you can't carry a firearm, but also agreed to separate because of that mental unfitness. has not been officially found by a qualified medical professional employed by the agency to be unqualified for reasons relating to mental health, and as a result of this finding, will not be issued the photographic identification. Okay, so there is an, I did work with one officer in Colorado, and he retired for PTSD, okay? I think he had more than 10 years on, anyway, but he did have an early retirement because of PTSD. However, he was not found to be mentally unfit. In other words, he was given an identification, okay? He retired honorably, right? Do I believe that that person can carry? Yes, right? PTSD and having mental issues is not necessarily bar you from carrying under LEOSA. It's just that the agency has found you that you're unfit to carry a firearm, and that those are specific findings part of the retirement. That's what we're looking for, okay? All right. Agreed to separate because of the mental health issue and no ID was issued, right? Has not entered into an agreement with the agency from which the individual is separating from service, in which that individual acknowledges he or she is not qualified under this section for reasons related to mental health, and for those reasons will not receive or accept the photographic identification. You see what's going on there? It's a specific finding. It's not just because our brothers and sisters in blue have gone through the 9/11 events and active shooter events and seen, you know, what no human should see, and they have to, you know, retire early for mental health reasons. That doesn't disqualify you. It's that it's part of the agreement. It's like, look, I'm retired because, I'm mentally unfit and I can't carry a firearm. Not prohibited by federal law. That just makes sense. It's the same as our active duty people. Okay. Not under influence. This is the same as our active duty brothers and sisters. Okay. Now, finally, police ID. This is an issue for some officers. Now, you can have an ID with the qual. This is what Washington does, right? So Washington, for example, I don't have my LEOSA with me right now, but you know, it'll give you, well, actually, LEOSA, Washington changed the rules. I shouldn't, you know, but anyway, Washington used to give you an ID with the qual date on there, and it would have your picture on there and so forth. And that would pretty much be like your LEOSA, right? Your agency may give you, you know, a retired credential with your qual in the last 12 months. But most common is going to be this ID with a separate qual, right? So you have your retirement ID. It's probably 10 years old, right? And it has you have your qual. The qual can be a picture, a card that they fill out by hand, and they'll say you qualed on March 5th. It could be a piece of paper, you know, with your 80% on there. Whatever it is that they give you, that's what you're going to want to keep. So I just started January 29th, but got injured during the academy, and I'm under workers' comp and didn't finish the defense. You cannot carry into LEOSA. Absolutely not. The problem is that you have not finished probation, and that's why LEOSA does not apply. So you're going to finish your probation, right? And if you get a service-related disability, then that's totally different, right? And remember, though, it also has to be a service-related disability, and however your state defines that, right? So if you have 5 years on the job and you fall off the roof cleaning leaves out of the gutter and you cannot work anymore, you're not getting LEOSA. It has to be on the job. Okay. So we know with this. Okay. So, you know, a photographic identification issued by the agency from which the individual separated from service as a law enforcement officer that identifies the person as having been employed as a police officer or law enforcement officer. Okay. No, so if somebody says, what's the minimum qual percentage? There is no minimum qual. I said 80%. It could be 70%. Hell, it could be 50%. It's what your state requires. It's what your state requires. All right. So you have to have that within the year before. So that's another reason, by the way, I recommend that you have a CCW, right? A concealed weapons permit from your state. Because I'm telling you, if you're busy like me, and I'm sure you are in retirement doing your thing, there are going to be times where you miss your qual, right? And you're going to want to pack some heat, you know? And you can't, you know, if you don't have, unless you're constitutional carry, right? You know, there's 26 states or so that allow you to carry without a permit. But if your state requires a permit, you know, that's why I want that CCW. Let's do some FAQs. Okay. So, do agencies have to issue retirement identification? Unfortunately, no, right? What does John say? John says, in Illinois, if you're qualified for LEOSA and your agency won't do retirement IDs, there's an Illinois retirement officer's concealed carry that will IROC that will do the issue. That's great. And we're up to 29 now. That's awesome. So, okay. So, okay. Let me answer this question too. I don't know if I answer this question to FAQs. Somebody says, I'm a retired federal police officer. Can I go to a local agency and get a call from them? Absolutely, if they'll do it. But there is no obligation for them to do it. But I can tell you, like my local police department, Spokane PD, is very good and generous and accommodating for retired cops. And they do it for free. And they do it like several times per year. Okay. So the answer is yes, if they'll do it. But if they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. That's just the way it is. Okay. So the problem is federal law cannot force a police department to give you an ID. If they do not give you an ID, you are without a you're out luck, right? Nothing in the text or legislative history in LEOSA of LEOSA supports a conclusion that Congress intended to require all states to issue identification to any officer or retired officer that falls within the definition of a qualified law enforcement officer or retired officer. That's the problem. Now, let me tell you something. It's absolutely 100% BS that you do your time with a police agency and they don't give you ID to show their things. Why do they care? They have no liability, okay? There's no liability for them under LEOSA. None. Zero. Okay. You're not their problem anymore. You're retired. So why wouldn't they show you a little love and let you have your hard-earned benefit? Handle these issues before you retire. Okay. If you hear that a cop at your agency honorably retired, and they won't give him his retirement ID because they don't like him. They don't like his politics or whatever. Fight that fight now before you retire, okay? Does that go for a state retiree? Are you talking about the Illinois? I know you got to clarify. No agency has to give any retirement ID. Can I carry any firearm I want? No. You have to carry a firearm that was transported in interstate, right? Commerce, okay? It covers everything except machine guns, silencers, and destructive devices. Okay. So, retired officers. Now, look, active duty officers, there is no type restriction. You guys with me on this? There is no type restriction. If you have an active duty officer and they qualled, they just qualled, they meet the qual, and they want to carry a hand cannon, they want to carry an SBR in their backpack. They can do it, okay? Right? They can do it because there is no restriction on the type of firearm, except it's machine gun and silencers for, you know, well, you said not New Jersey, but for active duty, right? It's the retirees that are restricted, okay? Okay. So the individual has not less recently than 1 year before the date of the individual's carrying the concealed firearm been tested or otherwise found by the agency to meet the active duty standards for qualification in firearms training as established by the agency to carry a firearm of the same type as the concealed firearm. Okay, what does type mean? Okay, type means semi-auto. Type means handguns. Type means rifles, right? Semi-auto, if it says semi-auto, that means you can carry any semi-auto, right? If it says handgun, you can carry a pistol and a revolver. If it says revolver, you're going to carry revolvers. If it's, you know, so the thing is, you know, type is a definition. Like, it's just the type. That's what it says, the type. Now, this is a little weird to you, but I don't recommend you carry a firearm that was manufactured in the same state as the officer's domicile. Okay, Georgia, right? So Georgia has a Glock factory, right? So if you're a Georgia police officer and you buy a Glock from your local gun store, and that gun was manufactured in the USA, it was manufactured with Smyrth, Georgia. I'm not saying that correctly. And is that gun was that gun transported in interstate commerce? Not when it was manufactured. I'm just telling you, no. Okay. And did it come from overseas internationally? No. So it might be small and significant, but that's why you came here, right? If the officer then goes from Georgia with that USA-made Georgia gun, and that's the officer's domicile that was never transported into interstate commerce, yeah, maybe I'm saying Smyrna. I don't know. And am I saying that correctly? Smyrna? So I don't speak good, but the point is, it's just a small thing. But you know, that's why I'm here. Okay, it should not be an issue for most officers because they don't have, you know, their handgun manufactured in the same state. But places like New Hampshire and Georgia are my first two biggest ones. I just throw it out there for conversations. Can I carry an AR pistol? Sure, right? Absolutely. You know, right? Active retired officers may carry an AR pistol as long as it's concealed. And retirees, it's a handgun or a semi-auto, right? So an AR pistol is a handgun, and it's also a semi-auto. So what does it say on your qualification? Right? Fine. They answer somebody's question. Can I conceal a rifle? Yes, if you're active duty, right? But retirees must comply with the type restriction. So if you have a tax stamp, if you're a retiree and you for some reason, you know, want to carry your, you know, I don't know, your CZ Scorpion SBR, you know, 9 mil in your backpack, fine, but qual on it. So that is part of the qual. It's a rifle, and I would have your instructor put on there that you qualed with a rifle. That's what I would do. Or if the CZ Scorpion is a pistol with a pistol brace, then it's a pistol. As a retiree, my qual states a specific firearm. How does that affect the type restriction? I recommend that you fix this issue, okay? There is no requirement whatsoever by LEOSA that you can only carry a specific firearm, okay? It says type. It does not say make and model, okay? Or serial number. Please, there are some agencies that do this stuff, okay? Please tell them to knock it off, okay? They're only hurting the retirees. A lot of retirees have a dinner gun, a swim gun, you know, lunch with the boys gun, and just let them carry what they want, okay? They earned it. Don't restrict cops in what they carry. It's handgun, it's semi-auto, which I prefer, or rifle, okay? In giving off-duty and retired police officers broad authority to nullify state and local gun laws, you just see what it said there? Nullify. This is from the seminal manual on on the law, right? The Firearms Law Textbook. H.R. 218 is not limited to carrying of officers' authorized weapons. As long as an officer received authorization to carry a particular kind of firearm, such as a service weapon, he could carry concealed any other kind of firearm while off duty or retired. Capiche? Capiche. Washington used to do that, by the way. Remember, I have a Washington instructor here. Washington used to restrict you to only carrying that firearm. Now, when they give you the permit, it doesn't even say anything about a type on there. It just says has qualified, which is, can I carry any ammunition I want? Yes. This is the New Jersey, right, amendments. Okay. Originally, this was not permitted. Originally, when H.R. 218 came out in like 2003, it did not restrict ammo. So states like New Jersey could restrict what they call dum-dum rounds, which is another way of saying hollow points. Now you can carry any ammo not restricted by federal law, which is armor-piercing ammo, but you can't buy armor-piercing ammo anyway as a civilian. Okay. Even green tip 5.56 ammo is not armor-piercing ammo per federal law. The term firearm includes ammunition not expressly prohibited by federal law and subject to provision of the NFA, right? So hollow points in New Jersey and other states that restrict hollow point ammo, good to go under federal law. Can I conceal carry non-department authorized firearms? So this is a question I get from my active duty folks. Anthony, I'm active duty. My department only allows me to carry a Glock 17, but I want to carry a P238. But my agency won't call me on it. They don't allow. Can I do it? Yes, of course you can do it, right? These are two separate issues, right? Are you violating your department policy? Probably. Are you going to piss them off? I guess, right? Can they stop you from can they stop you from enjoying federal law that's in your favor? No, okay? They have no right to tell you that you can't do it, okay? It's federal law that allows you to do it. But you should obviously not be going against your department because you do want them to be backing you up if you have to use that gun off duty, okay? So my agency requires us to qualify with any weapon other than a service weapon we want to carry off duty. That's great. Fine. I'm glad they're doing it. But can they restrict you? No, of course not. They're not Congress, right? Congress made it clear, right? Congress rejected a proposal to limit the firearms that could be carried to those authorized by a department, such as handguns, thereby allowing off-duty and retired officers to carry concealed shotguns, sniper rifles, or other weapons that their own police department have not authorized them to carry. I'm not telling you to violate your state your agency policy, and you should not. Don't piss off the hand that feeds you, especially if you go on duty with that gun. You don't want them to hang you out to dry and be like, well, since you weren't carrying a gun authorized by us, you were not on duty. Go defend yourself. You don't want that. You want your agency to defend you as if you're an on-duty cop. Okay. Officer says, sorry to beat a dead horse here. I have 5 years full-time and 5 years as a volunteer. My current department ID is dated from the date my full-time employment started 5 years ago. So I have 10 years, including reserve time. You're good, right? You're fine. All you're gonna have to do is prove that you had 10 years in the aggregate and you have a retirement ID. An ID that says you're a cop. That's fine. As an active state police officer, do I need HR 218 to carry concealed out of state? Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, you do. I can tell you, for example, that when I was a trooper in Las Vegas before HR 218, actually, was it before HR 218? Anyway, so. Actually, but anyway, let's just put it this way. I don't know if I actually went to California before HR 218, but the point is that let's imagine that I'm a cop in Nevada before HR 218, and I go to California for vacation. I would absolutely be violating the law there because California law says that you cannot carry a firearm into California as a peace officer unless you're on duty and you have work-related business. They have no exemption for off-duty cops. Therefore, I'm violating state law, right? Do a lot of cops jam you up for this when they stop you for speeding and you tell them, yeah, I got my gun in my car, I'm a cop in Vegas? Of course not. That'd be a bonehead move and it would not be cool. And it's a lack of discretion, in my view. But could they jam you up? Absolutely, they could jam you up in a heartbeat because there's no law that allows you to do it. Can I carry high capacity magazines despite contrary state law? No. Okay. Not in my view. Because did you see the definition of a firearm? Okay. The firearm under federal HR 218 and federal law is a gun transported interstate commerce and the ammunition. Did you see anything about magazines? No. Now, you can make this argument that magazines are part of the gun and blah, blah, blah. I hear you. And trust me, I think that high cap mag laws violate the Second Amendment. Absolutely, they violate the Second Amendment. But do they violate HR 218, right? The answer, it's two different issues. So I will tell you that in my world, when I go to California, I have a 10 round mag for my H&K gun that I carry, okay? Am I being overkill? Am I being too overly cautious? Maybe, but I'm not looking to get into a pissing match with a cop that for some reason thinks that I should go to jail because I did not follow California's laws. And it's not worth the risk. And 10 rounds is fine versus going to jail, right? Henry. Large venues with metal detectors, such as concerts, right? Which require you cannot carry there. Absolutely not, right? So if you're at a large venue, remember, what is HR? What remember, HR 218 says you cannot carry in certain places under HR 218. Private venues that restrict firearms, there's your concerts, and city, state government buildings and parks. Okay. So can I carry a homemade firearm? No. No, right? Because a homemade firearm is not transported and manufactured in interstate commerce, okay? And okay, but Anthony, I bought a Polymer 80. It came from Texas. It got transported to Utah, and then I made it. It was not, according to what you think, it was not a firearm when it was transported. So the answer is no. Carry a real gun. Should I also get a state permit? The answer is yes, right? Generally, I recommend retirees have a state permit along with the LEOSA. The permit cover, you know, when you don't, the permit covers when LEOSA doesn't. Now, again, I know you have constitutional carry in what, 28 states now, but it does help with missed quals, gun-free zones, other firearm types. That's another thing, right? So, you know, I have LEOSA and I carry, I qual with one type of gun, but maybe I want to carry, you know, my AR pistol or, you know, whatever, right? So, or my SBR, right? The permit would cover that, even though strictly speaking, you may not be able to, you may not need a permit for concealing a rifle. Does LEOSA apply to reserve officers? Welcome, Sean. See you, my friend. Is my opinion that yes, LEOSA applies to reserve officers that meet all other requirements. What is going now? Actually, not by the way, it's not just me that thinks this. It's also the NRA. Okay. They have a website that talks about this very issue. So this was removed in 2010. They used to require retirees used to have a pension plan, but Congress removed that pension plan in 2010. Okay. And why did it remove it? Number one, because retirees couldn't carry. And number two, a lot of states are going to 401k plans. Okay. Which is not necessarily non-forfeitable, right? The other issue though, the problem is this, is that ID. Okay. It's that ID. If you are a reserve for 10 plus years, does that agency have to give you a retirement ID as a reserve? The answer is no. And if I was a reserve, okay, for LAPD, LA, you know, LA Sheriff's Department, whatever, I would ask them, hey, if I give you 10 years of my weekends and so forth, can I get a retirement ID from you so I can satisfy LEOSA? If the answer is no, I would look for another agency to volunteer my time. You guys with me on this? I don't need a paycheck. I just need LEOSA, right? That's what I would say to these guys. What if I encounter an officer who believes I'm violating state law? Keep calm. Be cool. Do not get into a pissing match with a police officer. He's on duty. She's on duty. You're a retiree. It is a little different, you know. Hopefully they show respect to you and, you know, but I do, when I carry concealed, especially in anti-gun places, you know, like Chicago, I do carry the law with me, at least on my phone. Okay. I have it. I know where I can find it on my phone. And I just, look, obviously I can handle myself because I know what the law is, right? But if I'm like, if I think in my head, if I'm about to go to jail and this officer does not think I'm qualifying, he's like an officer in DC or New York, whatever. DC is actually pretty good because they have the Memorial Week. But if I'm in DC, I'm sorry, in New York, whatever, and I'm dealing with a cop that just does not understand the rules, I'm going to get a supervisor, right? Because if they arrest me, I'm going to sue them. Right. Obviously you would be too, right? I don't want to go to jail for a crime I didn't commit. So, but that's the best way to handle it. But you should really make sure you have your ID, make sure you have not been drinking, make sure you have your qual if you're a retiree. Okay. Make sure you have HR 218 printed out and just show them all the documents and hopefully they make the right decision. Okay. Okay. Improving LEOSA. So LEOSA is not perfect. I don't know where this law stands. This is, you know, the 117th Congress, but, there is an attempt to fix LEOSA. How do we need to fix LEOSA? Here's a couple things. You got to, preempt magazine bans, right? First of all, they're unconstitutional. That's going to happen nationwide at one point, but we're a few years off from that. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to take a mag ban case this year. We're hoping for an AR-15 ban case, the one from Maryland. Carry in gun-free zones. First of all, gun-free zones are, I also think, unconstitutional, right? Why can't you carry within 1,000 feet of a school? I think it's ridiculous. But until then, You need your, get rid of that and cover that under LEOSA. Carry and open to the public businesses, right? But look, you can right now, but it should say that you have the right to basically do that if it's open to the public. That one may not go through. Carry and open to the public government buildings, right? Being able to cut the carry in the DMV, to carry, in the Social Security office. And I think the number one thing that I would love to see from LEOSA is qual every 36 months, or not qual at all. How about not qual at all, right? Get rid of the qual, whatever you feel about it. There are many states that don't require a qual to carry or constitutional carry. You've been if you're a cop for 10 years or more, can we trust you that you know how to shoot? You've qualed 1,000 more times than any citizen out there carrying under a CCW. So why are we doing this to our cops? Is my opinion, right? Get rid of it. Just make it easy, carry, and so forth. All right? All right. And it applies to spouses within reason. Absolutely not. You're not giving my wife a gun, especially after I piss her off, which I commonly do. Okay. My life would be on the line. No, absolutely. Okay. Actually, can I just tell you the truth? It's not LEOSA for spouses. You know what it is? How about everybody gets to carry nationwide, like a driver's license, if you jump through a few hurdles, right? Back, you want a background check, you want this and that, but no 2 days of classes, no BS hoops, no $400 payments. How about if you're an American citizen, America, you can carry and protect yourself. How about that? How about we just get rid of LEOSA and make it fair for everybody? That is my honest opinion. I love LEOSA, but I think that my brother, my mother, and my friend should have the same right. Okay, do you find this information useful? I really hope that you did. Here's what we're gonna do. Zach, I'm gonna get you on. You ready to get on, Zach? For those who are watching, we didn't do trivia because I don't have any trivia, but for those who are watching on demand, I thank you so much. Please, please, please share this video with anybody you want. Download it, sell it, put it on VHS tape, and so forth. Okay. And thank you guys so much. I'm going to stop the recording. I'm going to start the Search and Seizure show with my very good friend, Zach. Anyway, thank you guys.